to the GovX Data Points podcast, where we discuss all things government and data. I'm your host, Sharon Paley.
And I'm Eric Reese. This week, we're starting a mini-series on data and culture change. We'll be taking a look at several different approaches to building a culture of data use within city government with several of our partners from around the country.
So this is the first in a series of three episodes looking at data and culture change. And this time we are joined by Josh Edwards of Durham, North Carolina. Josh is Strategic Plan Director in the Budget Department, and he's also the director of the city's innovation team. Josh oversees a variety of projects related to data in the city and has built several initiatives to help spread data use across Durham.
Josh will be talking about a couple of those projects, including his newest project with the innovation team in Durham, building capacity across all 24 departments to use data, as well as integrating all those efforts together to build a coherent strategy for Durham. So sit back and take it all in as we talk with Josh about data and culture.
Josh, thanks so much for joining us today. Can you just tell us how long have you been working in Durham, working on data, and what has been the biggest change you've seen during that time?
Definitely. So I've been in Durham for about 4 years now. And I think in terms of change, we've gone through quite an evolution. When I first got here, there was good work being done around data. But it was mainly coming out of the strategic plan. And so over this four-year period, I think what we saw happen was our goals as 24 departments to utilize data has grown from that desire to better measure how we're producing and serving our residents, to look at areas that we might not have typically looked at in our strategic plan. So that growth has been achievable because of employees' desire to spend capacity and time to learning ways to analyze data and to find data. And I think our systems have gotten better over the 4 years. In that four-year period, we've invested in something we call a neighborhood compass, which was our first kind of foray into open data. And that happened through our Neighborhood Improvement Services Department, and is now a standalone nonprofit through the NNIP. And then we have an open data portal, which came into being, I think it was the summer of 2015. And that recently has gone through a second rendition as well. So all along the way, I would say that the biggest change has been the growth in our employees' desire and willingness to invest time into data. And having the resource and the services plugged in along the way that have allowed us to then invest in our employees who have wanted to do that.
So Josh, you know, you talked a little bit there about how the foundation of some of this was started from employees' desire to begin using data more frequently and more often. How have you started to build a foundation for the whole organization, really tapping into what employees want to do, but also maybe some of the things that aren't so fun about data culture, and really get those ingrained throughout the city?
Yeah, so our tact on this, I know this is a common phrase in government that we make fun of, but thinking about our capacity for innovation. So 3 years ago, when we updated our strategic plan, we used to have a goal titled Well-Managed City. And as we refreshed our strategic plan, we heard from residents and employees that was the phrasing behind that did not exude, you know, continuous improvement, trying to do more, trying to address the needs in our community that we should be tackling. And so we updated that goal through that feedback to become an innovative and high performing organization. And so that culture change started to outline itself. The foundation of what's happened kind of came out of the building out of that new goal. And so part of that was, how do we better use data? How do we visualize data? How do we expand our open data footprint? But the other part of it was, how do we begin to change the culture so that people have time in their schedules, so that people can explore new software platforms? How do we invest in our employees so that they have tools to do more than they're doing? And so that's really where we found the foundation was around that new goal. And then as we grew that goal's vision and the initiatives came out of that, there were a couple things that really started to take root. The first was something we call Idea Lab, and this is a joint project we have with the County of Durham. And it's almost 3 years old now. But that's, if we think about innovation in a couple of different ways, before you get to a culture change, you've got to have time together and events. Innovation as an event, we need to make sure that there's time and space for people to get together who are like-minded in around data and change and culture change. And so that Idea Lab really became that place where employees organically found out across both organizations that about what was going on and what potentially new strategies they could use to improve their programs, their jobs, their interests. And so we had a lot of conversations in Idea Lab around qualitative, quantitative data, human-centered design, behavioral economics, and what really started to take root was a desire to think about continuous improvement. You can't do that without data. So as we grew that group, people came out who we didn't know, and all of a sudden you begin to reach a group who's plugged into every city and county department. And that's really where we started to see a change. But I think that foundation couldn't be built with the partners that we met along the way. And so one of those first partners was Duke Sanford School of Policy, and they offered expertise and connected us with the Center for Advanced Hindsight, who also offer expertise in behavioral economics. So we started to kind of put together a toolbox that then helped us as we apply to become a What Works City, helped us apply to become a Bloomberg innovation team, and then also apply for the Mayor's Challenge, become one of 35 finalists. So I think it's a combination of you've got to know what's important to build the foundation, but then you've got to find people to help you build it. And we were lucky to have both internal and external people to help along the way. And Eric, you're one of those people that definitely helped us, and GovX helped guide us through one of the later stages of development.
That's really nice to hear, Josh. Thank you. So how have you cleared time and people's work schedules and filled these capacity gaps that you identified earlier?
So we're starting to think about how we do a better job with that. I don't think we've solved that yet, but we're updating our strategic plan for this next fiscal year, for the next 3 years. And there's been a lot of discussion, the same goal, about how do we add capacity for this work, A, in either people's roles, or how do we think about allowing management analysts, data analysts to move and cross over different departments throughout the year or spend time in a different department. We're trying to be more intentional with that capacity in the future, but I wouldn't say we're there yet. I've heard some cool examples around the country of what people are doing. What we've been able to do is offer a place and a group for people to plug into. And we've encouraged people to make time in their current work, right? So oftentimes the people we're working with are business service managers, management analysts, some program administrators who are using data in their roles, but really need to grow that capacity and really have the ability to do their jobs better if they have more resources or more understanding of how to grow that. I think about our project we work with Eric on, where in the development review process, there's all sorts of data, but are we using the data in that process to make it better? And are people who are controlling that data and handing off the information during the permit process, are they cataloging the data along the way so that the process can improve and that they can make better decisions? So how we interject in those programs and those projects to improve our capacity is really where we focused our effort. But I would say that, yeah, people don't have enough capacity to really get to where we need to be. And we're trying to come up with strategies to do that.
Yeah. And Josh, just, you know, in my experience as a one-time intern at Durham County, you know, proud former resident of Durham, yeah, I know there's tons of smart folks in Durham, and that the city has really been able to build these partnerships, as you said, both internal with all the smart people that are working within the government, but also externally. So can you talk a little bit about how you built some of those relationships with other community stakeholders, you know, the one that you mentioned, the Sanford School, and maybe some others as well, to help spur this culture change and kind of organizational change along?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is, it's not unique to Durham, but many of us live in cities where residents and organizations are passionate about the city they live in. And so as we began to build Idea Lab and we started our own internal I-team at the city before we got the Bloomberg grant, people just reached out that we met along the way. So Sanford School at Duke extended opportunities for us to take a couple courses, to audit courses, to give project ideas to students who were taking a human-centered design course. And they just opened up their doors to us because they knew we were kind of batting around ideas and how to make improvements and how to better use data. And so we're also blessed to have Duke's Social Science Research Institute, SSRI, where they've got a whole team of social scientists there who really want to use community data in the work that they do to teach students how to use data in their research. Right. So the desire to improve the community through their work is something that I think Duke has really shown themselves to be interested in. And as well as NC Central University, where we've gotten to connect with their director of strategic planning. The I-team is working closely with the criminal justice department there on data projects, and we have a fellows from them. But just to kind of show the evolution, we went from just having a training one day with the Center for Advanced Hindsight, where we met Mariel Beasley, to now we have a research behavioral economist in residence, Joey Sherlock, who works one day a week at the city of Durham. So all the way in between that really was relationship building and showing, like developing common vision for what's possible if social scientists in our community get involved in the work of the city and county. This kind of happened through a variety of projects we worked on together. So my recommendation to people thinking about this and looking for external partners is to identify small projects early on that you can collaborate on, and just to show those partners the ability that they're able to, the positive change they're able to connect with and grow in a local government by spending time with the department. So one example is our solid waste department. One of our early projects was to test and see if putting stickers on trash cans encourage people to recycle more. And using specific language to describe the stickers and what the sunk cost of throwing away too much material was. So we did a kind of an A-B test between different neighborhoods. And I would say that the value there was really our working with our solid waste department and growing that capacity with that department to think differently, to use data, to think about testing and prototyping in a new way, which I think really showed the Center for Advanced Hindsight that, hey, you can really make a difference in local government. And they have expanded their reach across the state working with local governments to improve services. So I think that start small, grow that relationship, and all of a sudden we've got a social scientist in residency who can be an on-call consultant for departments. So it's definitely worth the investment, but it took about 3 years.
Yeah, and Josh, as a fellow UNC man, I know it probably is at least a little bit painful to say so many positive things about Duke, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think I've gone through that evolution, so being a Wake Forest grad, I never drank the Carolina Kool-Aid, though I love Chapel Hill and all that it stands for, and the School of Government. Duke really has committed itself to the community and to the city and county and helping. And I think that the researchers there, as residents of Durham, have shown that commitment as well, across disciplines and connecting with people who are focused on health and doing health research in the community. I think there's definitely a commitment. And I know that Duke's updated their strategic plan recently over the last 2 or 3 years, and they did put a new focus on the community. Same with NC Central, where there's a desire from our universities here to use some of their resources to continue to invest in our community, which is great.
So not every city is lucky enough to be blessed with the wealth of academic institutions that you have in Durham. Have you any recommendations for cities like that about where they could start to look for these? Because it seems like you're saying the third party
partnership is really critical in this change. So where else do you think folks could look for that kind of support?
I think that there's universities across the country who are interested in getting into field research that might not have the connection with their locality as well. So I would encourage people to connect with potential professors they've worked with in the past and try to build a network with academics to find somebody who might be interested in connecting. So I gotten to meet some folks from Indiana University at a conference I was at recently, and they were presenting on wanting to do more field research and growing local government's capacity, even if it's in North Carolina. So there's an understanding that I think academics are realizing that they have to get more into the work that's happening on the street and showing that value add and building capacity in our local governments. So I think that that's growing across the country, and I would encourage people to think about who they could reach out to. For example, if they're in California, maybe they don't have one of the UC schools close to them, but what if they could reach out to the one that is and start that conversation and think about how there could be what project they could work on, or think about a grad student, bring the grad student in for the summer to start a relationship with the university. I think there's all sorts of opportunities.
Yeah, Josh, you kind of implied a little bit and talked a little bit about this, that a lot of that is about relationship building and just being willing to reach out and ask those questions. And now that you have those things going on and now you've built some relationships both internally and externally in Durham, you know, what's the future for the city of Durham in this culture change and the use of data across the city?
I think the future kind of started when we became a What Works City, and we updated we refocused and created kind of our Open Durham 2.0. So I think that, you know, we had invested in the infrastructure to do data well, starting in 2015 when we had Open Data Portal, but our last Open Data Manager, Sam McClenny, kind of reinvested and refocused our open data portal work and updated the visuals of it, but also the vision behind it. And looking at our open data policy with Sunlight and revisiting kind of our vision there, really reset kind of our focus on the future and how we do things. And so what we found in this, this was an idea lab this past year that Sam McClenny led, and it was focused on data, and it was our biggest turnout we've ever had. There wasn't a spare chair. Every seat was full, and there was energy in the room. And at that point, we realized, okay, we really need to start to pivot from idea lab to being focused on building data capacity, because that's obviously how people are voting by showing up. Because we still are kind of thinking about other strategies and leading trainings there, but when we emphasize data, people show up. So one of the things, Eric, that you help us with, and I really think this is where we're heading as we go down the road, and a shameless plug, we're hiring an open data manager. If anybody's out there listening, go to durhamnc.gov and apply, because we'd love to have you. But kind of where we've gone is to creating a community of practice, right? So with Eric's help, we held our first session and we created kind of a training opportunity. People showed up to that training opportunity and wanted to learn more. So at every step of this, we've surveyed our attendees and said, okay, what do you want? What can we deliver? How do you want to grow? What do you want to change? What's next for you? And so Eric, you came on site, led that training. It was well received. People said, we want more, we want more. So we've created the Durham Data Community of Practice. And this Friday, we actually have our second meeting. Previous to this second meeting, we've sent a survey just asking people what tools, what skills they want to refine, how they want to grow. So we're really trying to do a skill assessment and a gap needs assessment, right? So what are the skills you want to have? What do you have? And then how can we help get you there? So we're trying to figure out how to do that at the same time. We're having our departments that are doing really cool work with data present. So last session, we had a couple of departments present. This session, we're having our police department present some interesting data. So each session, we're trying to encourage others by showing that people are really doing some cool work. We just don't know about it because we're in our different departments and our different organizations. At the same time, we're trying to say, okay, how can we grow together? what are those shared places we want to grow in?
That's great, Josh. I think this, you've got some really great recommendations for what other cities can be doing. I'm sure folks have ideas about how they can see themselves in the work that's that Durham's doing. And it's probably been really good for Eric's ego too, this
podcast. Yeah, that wasn't my intent going into this, but I do realize, you know, Eric has done a lot for the city and County Durham, and you know, something about it when he comes down here, it just feels like the right thing. I know he likes South Bend, and I won't try to kind of get in the way of that, but we'll take a second.
Well, Josh, I need a personal hype man, and I always enjoy, you know, coming to Durham to eat barbecue and drink good beer, so I'll come down sometime soon. Well, great. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Josh, and we really appreciate your perspective, and you know, we're excited to continue to follow all the great progress of things that are happening in Durham.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate the time.
Thanks again to Josh for joining us today. If you want to learn more about culture change and what's going on in Durham, check out the show notes and other GovX resources on our website at govx.jhu.edu. You can also learn more about the work we're doing by following us on Twitter and Instagram at gov_EX.
As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you're listening to the podcast. Your support of us means a lot. And we look forward to you all joining us next time to find out where the data points.